Our first reading is Psalm 84, which, if you're following along in the church Bibles, is found on page 601. For the director of music, according to Gittith, of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely is your dwelling, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. That can be found on page 1083 of the Church Bibles. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Amy and Abby. If you can turn back to Psalm 84, that's the one we're looking at, particularly this afternoon, and let's pray before we consider it. Our Father God, we thank you for your kindness in speaking to us with words which we can understand. And we pray that you might, by your Holy Spirit, give us understanding to see what this word means for us this day, to see how it points us to your Son, our Saviour Jesus. To be comforted where there is comfort, to be challenged where there is challenge. And as we consider these words, might you work in us, and might this be for your honour and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as some of you know, one thing about me is that I don't drink alcohol, and so I don't pay much attention to advertising for beer. But there is kind of advertising which I've found difficult to ignore over the past 10 years. Not that it makes me want to drink the beer, but it's just everywhere, I've found. And it's the Corona adverts. It's from where you'd rather be. I think it's very clever. It's got a very idyllic Mexican beach sunset scene, which is a very wonderful thing to look at and imagine yourself in. And there just happens to be someone in whichever picture they're doing, that's someone somewhere, tiny, but in the picture, they've got a Corona, they're drinking. But what it's setting is from where you'd rather be, which is a very easy thing to say from a screen to a dark, cramped, crowded cinema complex in Christchurch on a rainy day, and you're looking at it and say, yes, that is where I'd rather be. I'd rather be on the beach in Mexico. It's a very easy thing to say from a billboard to a street full of traffic, people on a rainy day going into work, and they're looking up and say, yes, that is where I'd rather be. Not here going to work, but on the beach in Mexico. It's a strong feeling. It's a powerful connection they've made. And that's the clever thing. They're selling this feeling, saying, look, from where you'd rather be. You want to be there, don't you? Now, you can't actually buy that, but you can go around the corner and pick up a Corona, so maybe we'll go and do that. It's very clever advertising. It's showing that strength of particular places can give us particular feelings, and particular feelings can almost transport us to particular places, and we want to get there, so let's go from where you'd rather be. Now, this time of year is very much a from where you'd rather be time of year, isn't it? It's that second half of January when we've had some time off, and many people still have time off, and many people have gone on holiday, and whether you've been receiving postcards like the old school, or whether you're seeing those photos on social media, you're back at work or back in Christchurch under grey skies, and you're seeing people's overseas or somewhere beautiful in New Zealand holiday photos, and it's where you'd rather be. I'm sure it stirs up some feelings in you, whether those feelings are of, oh, that's great for them, or wishing that you could be there too, or feeling nostalgic for a previous trip you had, or maybe even feeling resentful, but probably feeling something from where you'd rather be. There's this powerful connection between place and peace and feeling. Now, Psalm 84, which we're looking at this day, is a from where you'd rather be psalm. It is a song which is speaking about the temple of God in Jerusalem. That's what it means when it says in verse 1, dwelling place, and verse 2, and the courts of the Lord, and when it speaks about his house and his altar and Zion, it's the temple of God in Jerusalem, initially. And it's a song which is by the Sons of Korah, as you see in the title there, which thank you, Abby, for reading. It's originally verse 1 of this psalm, it's inspired text. And the Sons of Korah were talk about nepotism, it was a band commissioned by King David in the time of getting ready for the construction of the temple and choosing the line of the Sons of Korah to be involved in the creation of music and song for the temple, which David's son Solomon was going to build. And you see, especially if you read 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles, you'll see the generations going through when they worship at the temple, there's the Sons of Korah there. And it goes throughout the generations. And so maybe a very talented gene pool and a talented line. And there are a number of famous psalms which are of the Sons of Korah, and this is one of them. And what they've done is they've done this song of pilgrimage, a pilgrim song, talking about a journey to the Lord's house. You see that verse 6 talks about passing through the valley of Baca, and verse 7, till each appears before God in Zion. They're yearning to be there, and they're making journey to be there. There's longing. It's a pilgrim song. It's a song which shows that powerful connection between place and peace and person. As you think about it for you, what is your where I'd rather be? What is your wishful place or a happy place, a place that you really want to get to? If you just take a moment to picture it in your mind's eye without drifting off and not hearing anything else I say, exercise some self-control there, but picture in your mind's eye, where is that place I'd rather be, that happy place? What does it look like? I'm sure it's possibly somewhere beautiful and stunning. I'm also sure there's a reason that makes it happy, some life event or something that has happened. It might be something that is a place that you've been to and you're nostalgic for, or it's somewhere that's on your bucket list and you've never quite got to, but you're longing to get there. As you picture it, I imagine for many people in the room, you're picturing it and you're not alone. There are others there. There are people, relationships. There's this connection between place and peace, and people. It is strong. And that is what this psalm is doing. It's a pilgrim song, as I said, and you can imagine how it sounds for the person who makes it to the dwelling place as they're walking among Jerusalem, among the courts of the Lord, and is looking around them, and they say, yes, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. You can imagine how the song would sing to them. You can also, the song would sing to people who are just starting out their journey. They're a long way away, and they're longing to get to this place they'd rather be. And thinking about this dwelling place is going to spur them on to make it there. So there's the song of wonder for the people who are there. It's the song of longing for the people who are on their way there, or the people who never make it in the first place. They couldn't afford to go away for that length of time for their health or for other reasons. And they're hearing people come back and singing, how lovely is your dwelling place? And they're thinking, yeah, I wish I could have gone. Or imagine for people in the history of the temple, which a couple of hundred years after David was destroyed by the Babylonians, and they rebuilt it, but it wasn't quite what it was, and they had to renovate it again. And how lovely is your dwelling place? Well, yeah, I wish it was still standing. Imagine how the song sings for them. There's that powerful connection for them. But as we consider it today, there's that sense of the place is more than just a place. It's who is there. It's the presence of God. And what does it mean to long for that? So that's what we're going to be thinking about. As I said before, we're in this series of looking at blessed statements in the Psalms. We had Psalm 1 a few weeks ago, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And we had Psalm 32 a couple of weeks ago, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Last week we had Psalm 4, blessed is the one who has regard for the weak. And then today, Psalm 84, it's three for the price of one. There are three statements. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set in pilgrimage. Verse 12, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. It's very clear from just those statements, this is not just about a place. This song is primarily about God. It's about being with God. And it's the blessed dwelling of being with him. So we'll have a look at that. Verses 1 to 4, we'll see blessed dwelling and how that means they long to be there. It's the blessed strength that God gives for the journey. And we'll have a look at that in verses 5 to 9. Blessed strength. And so they pray for God to act. It's a song about trusting in him. Blessed trust. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so they walk. They seek to follow him. So that's how we're going to look at it. Start with verses 1 to 4. Blessed dwelling. The song begins with this cry. It's a cry of longing. It's, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty? But it's, my soul yearns, even faints, to be there. I'm not there. I want to go to there, he's saying, verse 2. My soul yearns for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Wants to go to there, but isn't. Yearns to be there, but can't get there. Maybe this is what's going on in your head since I said, where is your happy place? And you've drifted off and you're thinking of your happy place, and maybe you're yearning, longing to get there and plotting, how might I make it so I can get there? And what can I do to get there? It's all I can think about. It's all I can plan towards. It's influencing my behavior and my actions and what I talk about and think about. It's what I think about when I go to sleep. Well, this is the experience for this person, this son of Korah, as he considers the dwelling place of God. How lovely it is. My whole body is groaning to get there. And then he considers those who are there already and almost jealously considers the blessing that they have of being in the courts of the Lord, being in his house. The surprise is that he's talking about birds. Verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Swallows and other birds are very good at making nests around human construction. I can think of an underpass I've cycled under a number of times which has one. I can think of just out the back door of Hillview right here. If you go outside after the service, you'll see I got kind of dive-bombed by a couple of small birds. Let's take a picture just today of the nest there and all the poo which was coming down from it. But here is this songwriter saying, I am jealous of them. I wish I were them. They are blessed to be there. They've got a home. They don't have to make pilgrimage. They don't have to travel. And when it's closing time, they don't have to leave. They've got their home right there, a place near God's altar. I wish I was there. What an amazing privilege. That is what he was wishing. And as he says that, it shows that it's not just about the location that he's talking about here. It's not about the buildings and the structures. Because if it was, you would think that an invasion of nesting swallows would be a bad thing. And it does show a little bit of a sign of disrepair, a lack of maintenance. Someone hasn't come through recently and cleared them out and washed off the bird poo that's on the paving slabs. They've been left there. Well, then you can imagine times in its history when it's just been a pile of rubble and its nesting birds are just the least of their problems, but it's not that great. Yet here he is saying how blessed they are to be near, how much he's longing to be in the place of the Lord. It's talking about something which is maybe inaccessible to him in this moment, but living by faith, he trusts that he will get there. He's longing to be with the Lord himself. It's not the place, it's the person and the peace he brings. And you see that in the other verses around here, the end of verse 2. What does his heart and his flesh cry out for? It's not for the bricks, it's for the living God. Not for the statues and the figures, it's for the living God. It's God himself he's crying out for. It's not the place, it's the person. It's the peace. And as what's at the end of verse 3, why is it so special for the sparrow and the swallow? It's because it's a place near his altar. Not just any altar, not just any table, but the Lord's. And see how the Lord is described. It's the Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Not just any altar, the Lord's altar, being close to him. And you see that at the end of verse 4, what are those who are dwelling in the house doing? They are praising God, forever praising him. They get to be with him and praise him. That is what he's longing for and yearning for. What a blessed dwelling. So he longs. He longs to be there. And we'll think a bit later about what that means for us in our position as Christians here in 2023 New Zealand. But let's keep moving. Verses 5 to 9, and we have our second blessed statement. And we see blessed strength. Having been talking about the destination, it goes back to thinking about the journey. As I said, it talks about those who are passing through the Valley of Baca and making their way to appearing before God in Zion. It's not an easy journey. For many, it was a long journey, an arduous journey through arid country, over rough terrain, through unfriendly regions where they'd have safety in numbers. And they needed the motivation to spur them on with this journey. It's a costly thing. They need to know that it's worthwhile taking days or weeks off to come to Jerusalem to be with the Lord. They need to be strengthened in doing this. And here the song says, well, they are blessed, those who are spurred on, who are motivated to come to the Lord. They are blessed. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set in pilgrimage. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. God gives that strength. God gives the strength for people to come and be with God. He helps them. He grants them the strength to get through the Valley of Baca to Zion, to appear before him. And there's a wonderful picture there in verse 6 of the transformative effect of the strength that God gives. We can't be entirely sure where the Valley of Baca is, but it seems to be a dry place, a place where there are Baca trees which are soaking up water where there is not much and weeping. But as they go through this dry place, this difficult land, this difficult country, what happens to it? Well, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain pools. By the time they're coming back from the festival, you can imagine they've gone for the autumn festival of tabernacles, and they're coming back, and look at all these pools. Again, it sounds a little bit, speaking a bit too highly of it. I mean, is that really the case? Is that what they experienced? I mean, if it was, as they come back, they see some pools. By the next time they return for the festival, that's a dry valley again. It's ongoing. The life of pilgrimage is hard, and there are many times in which you're going through a dry valley, distant and difficult. But he's living by faith. The life of a pilgrim is a life of faith, that God will give the strength to get you there. God will bring you there to his presence. And that transforms the way you view even the valley. It is like a place of pools. And since he gets strength from the Lord, it makes sense then in verses 8 and 9 that he prays to the Lord. Because of his blessed strength, he prays. Let me read that prayer again. Verse 8, hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. So who is he praying to? He's praying to God. What is he praying for? Well, favor on God's anointed one. To look on his shield. Who is God's anointed one? Well, we'd probably be helped if the end of verse 9 is left untranslated. Normally it's good that Bibles translate for us. It's very, very helpful. But if it was left untranslated, verse 9 would say, look with favor on your Messiah. And that makes perhaps a bit more sense to us if we're familiar with the term Messiah. It's talking about God's chosen king. King David, who commissioned the sons of Korah, was the Messiah. He'd been anointed to be God's king over God's people. David himself was promised a son who would be this perfect Messiah, this eternal Messiah who would reign and rule righteously forever. And here the prayer is saying, look with favor on him. Look on our shield. The hope of being in the presence of the Lord, of being in his wonderful, lovely dwelling place, well, it's tied in with the success of the Messiah, the Lord's King. If we're seeking to be with God, we need to know his Messiah is ruling. And you can imagine, again, the people in the history of God's people, as their temple was destroyed and as they had carted off to different lands and as their throne was left unoccupied, they're longing for God's King to come back and to rule perfectly. Because when that happens, they'll be able to come into God's presence. It's blessed strength. So they pray. They pray for God's Messiah to be vindicated, to have success. Again, we'll think about what that means for us soon. To the end of the psalm, verses, the last three verses, we see blessed trust. Verse 10 is probably the most famous of all the verses in the psalm. Very famous words which are put to many good songs. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Again, it sounds like he's talking it up, speaking over positively. I mean, really, is it better than 1,000 elsewhere? Obviously, he hasn't been to New Zealand yet. But that's what he's saying. No, he'd rather be there. He'd rather be near the Lord, the one he trusts. And he describes it in this way. He'd rather be a doorkeeper, someone who is kind of missing out, getting a short shrift. They're always at the door and never entering in it. They're seeing others go through. They've always got their back to the action. It's similar to a job which actually a few people in our congregation have done before, of being a security guard at a music event or a sporting event. It might be an event that they've always wanted to go to, with a band that they've always wanted to hear or a team they've always wanted to see play, but they can't see it. They've got their backs to them. They've got to wear an orange jacket and face a crowd and make sure everyone's behaving themselves. It feels like they're missing out. Bit of a rubbish deal. But here he's saying he would choose that every day of the week if it means being close to God, than to be anywhere else. Could be in the center and the midst of everything. Dwelling in the tents of the wicked, not worth it. Nothing can compare with being as close as possible to the presence of the Lord in whom he trusts. And we're told why in verse 11. Why does he say this, that he'd rather be a doorkeeper? Why? Because the Lord God, he is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life, whose walk is blameless. The Lord God is the source, the only source of goodness, of salvation, of refuge and protection. Think about our longings, what we're longing for, where we'd rather be. Well, all of our longings are fulfilled in the Lord God. Nowhere else. Only in him. And that is why he'd rather be a doorkeeper. Now, as we read verse 11, you might feel a little bit unsettled by the end of it, where it says, well, he doesn't withhold good things from those whose way of life is blameless, whose walk is blameless. And you might think of your own walk, your own way of life, and say, well, mine isn't blameless. It's pretty blameworthy. And so say the rest of us. Who really could say that their walk is blameless? Again, we'll think in a moment about one whose walk was blameless. But see how that compares with how God's people are described in verse 12. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Who trusts that the Lord will grant strength to get you to the place where you long to be with the Lord in his presence. and he will provide a way. Who shows grace? Trust as the one who perfectly trusted did. Blessed trust. But we've seen this blessed dwelling, so we long. Blessed strength, so we pray. Blessed trust, so we walk in faith, the life of a pilgrim. What does it mean for us, 2023, Christians here in New Zealand? If it's talking about the temple of God in Jerusalem, well, that's been a ruin. It's been destroyed for almost 2,000 years. AD 70 was the last time it was standing. And even if it was to be rebuilt tomorrow, if they were to take down the Dome of the Rock and rebuild the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, that actually doesn't make any difference for us as Christians, because the Lord does not dwell in houses made by human hands. He cannot be contained. There is no one geographical place on earth which is more where God is than over above another. Hillview Christian School is not more holy than St. Martin's Primary School. St. Saviour's Anglican Church in Colombo Street is not more spiritual than a school hall. That is not where we find in his blessed dwelling. So where do we? Well, here are these words from Hebrews 12, which might help us. In Hebrews 12, the writer is speaking to Christians and saying, "You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." This is the blessed dwelling of God. What we are longing for, the place where we are longing to be and yearning to be, this is where we'd rather be. It's his heavenly city. It's not an earthly thing. It's his heavenly city to be with God. But isn't it a wonderful thing? It says, "You have come." Not, "You're going to get there," which we certainly are, and we're longing for that to be fulfilled, but "You have come." You have come to God. You have come to Jesus. You know Jesus. Jesus, who last month at Christmas we celebrated as the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, whose name was Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the one who fulfills all our longings. Jesus is that Messiah that verse 9 spoke about. Jesus is the one who truly trusted, whose walk was truly blameless. It's Jesus. In him that we know God. Jesus, who himself said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus. Have our longings fulfilled in Jesus. I hope that is a comfort for us. A comfort for us when we are going through our own valley of Baca, a dry place where we're feeling dry and distant, feeling uncertain or without purpose, longing to be, but never thinking that we could be. Jesus, you've come to Jesus. If you've put your trust in Jesus, he's with you by his Spirit. Where you'd rather be is secure through Jesus. You will get there. And you know him now. You are with him. Let that be a comfort to us. But also let it be a challenge. By nature, as humans, we long for things. And there are some things which we long for which we'll never stop talking about with others, and we might be clear of what each one of us is longing for. And it affects what we think about and how we speak and what we do in planning and how we behave. It may be something that you've already received that you were longing for a long time, and maybe you found that you've been kind of left disappointed. Because the challenge is, not one of us can be truly fulfilled outside of Jesus. He is that perfect place where we come to. Person, peace, place, all together. We have peace in him. What if we were to long for him even more than we long for other things? How would our lives look? How would that challenge us? The more we long for him, the more we should be delighting in him and knowing him now. The longing for that day when we are with him, we see him face to face, and we will be like him. And there will be no more sickness, no more suffering, no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, no more sin. What a wonderful, glorious hope that is. Shouldn't we be longing for that? Yearning for it, even through the valley of Baca? wishing that we were there, but knowing that it's secure in Jesus. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set in pilgrimage. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.